On June 23rd, members of the Wild Boars soccer team, 12 members ages 11 to 16, along with their coach, 25 years of age, went on what was to be an hour-long excursion in the caves in North Thailand. It was supposed to be a distraction after a very long practice. Some of them had told their parents where they were going, most did not. They left their bikes at the entrance, they went into the cave, and as we know, they did not know that the rains were coming. And when they tried to leave the caves, they realized that the entrance had been submerged. And then they used their hands on the side of the cave walls to find little crevices and crawl spaces where they could move together to higher ground. It was those handprints in the side of the caves that were the first clues for the rescuers to discover which direction they were going. I wonder about handprints. I wonder if God could see those handprints in clay bricks with straw that they made day after day after day. I wonder if they could see those clay-ridden hands clasped in prayer as they lifted their voices to God, the sorrow of their hearts of being captive in Egypt. I wonder if God could see the scrapes on their hands as they tried to find a crevice or two or a crawl space that they might be able to escape with. But it is that desperation that God spoke at the foot of the mountain, out of the burning bush, when God summoned Moses to listen and to say, I have heard the cry of my people, and I am sending you to bring them up to a land of promise, flowing with milk and honey. Moses did his very best not to go, but God is very persuasive. Before he knew it, before he was putting on his sandals, God had already declared that God was going with him, and now, as Rabbi Jonathan Sacks would put it, it is Moses who burns with the presence of God. And it was that burning presence that would bring a people through their hunger and their thirst. When they quarreled, when the water and the food ran out at Meribah and Massah, it was Moses who struck the rock and the waters flowed. For 10 days, the boys in the darkness encouraged each other. They prayed together. They meditated together. They cupped their hands to catch the precious water that dripped from the stone and the rock above them to keep themselves alive. And when they heard the voices of the divers coming near, they knew that their rescue was at hand. Jesus must have burned with the same presence as he walked along the beach that day by the Sea of Galilee. James and John had just finished their shift on the waters, likely preparing to count what they had caught. Zebedee, their father, and the hired hand in the boat, repairing their nets. Take the time before you leave today just to stand in front of the window at the southwest porch in this corner. There, etched in stained glass, captures that moment by the sea. In the center panel is James, our namesake. He is stepping out of the boat in the shallows, moving towards the shore, and his eyes are fixated on the one who is summoning him to leave everything behind. And his eyes say something about the burning presence. John, his brother, too, is leaving the boat, stepping into the waters, and with the same look on his eyes, to pick up where Jesus says, I will make you fish for people. I am inviting you on a rescue mission for life. On the far right panel, you'll see Zebedee and the hired hand. Their heads are down, just concerned about the task of the day. What on earth would ever compel them to leave it all behind. To leave the security of a steady job in the family business, to leave it to follow this one who is calling them on the beach. Well, I would contend that when that deep thirst is quenched in your soul, when that deep hunger is satisfied in your midst, when you feel the burning illumination of God in your life, you can only have one place to go, and that is to follow. It is love, my friends, that compels you to move. It is love for a neighbor, the deep compassion for one who needs assistance, the one that needs you to put a mask on to go into the dark caves to come and rescue 12 innocent boys and a coach. It is love that moves you. It is love, I would contend, that calls our refugee committee to meet every single week with parishioners and community members who have over the last number of years met over and over again to pull together all that is needed to rescue one family from Iran and another family from Syria and to help them settle in a promised land named Canada. But I cannot find anywhere in the book of Exodus where God mentions anything about snow in the promised land. When I sit with a couple who come to be married, I often say to them, "You are insane. And there is nothing that I can do to talk you out of the journey that you are about to start together. The only thing that I can do is to help you continue to kindle that flame of love that has come to rest between you so that it might be carried into the future for a lifetime." It is love that compels James and John to leave the security of what they know to go into the future. James was not perfect. Mark describes James and John as the sons of Boanerges, or the sons of thunder. It's a nickname. In other words, they're hotheads. They are impulsive. They are passionate, full of fire. We hear that it is James and John who will sit at the top of the mountain with Jesus as he is transfigured. And there they see that mystical union between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. It is James in Gethsemane who is asked to stay awake, but the wine and the food in his belly compel him to fall asleep. And now today on the road to Jerusalem, he is asked the question. In Mark's version, it is James and John who ask Jesus for the seating arrangements at the table. But in Matthew, it's their mother. Imagine the moment as she kneels before Jesus and says, "Can you do me a favor? Can you have James and John sit one at your left and one at your right?" Can you imagine John and James and their embarrassment, looking at their toes with the 12 groaning behind them? There they go again, trying to get the best place. And yet I would contend it's always a mother's prerogative to ask the question, because a mother wants more than anything to protect and to keep and to save a child from harm. Duang Peck is 13 years old. He is part of the Wild Boars soccer team. His grandmother was asked by the Associated Press, "What will you say to Dom?" That's his nickname. And she said, "I will tell him never to play near water or a cave again. I will tell him that he has to thank all of the people of Thailand. I will tell him he will have to thank all of the officials and the Navy SEALs who saved him, because without their help, he would not see his grandma's face, and his grandma would not see his. From now on, he has to be a very, very good person." It is a mother's prerogative to ask the question, And then Jesus asks an equally important one. Can you go where I am going? Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink? James and John, I'm not sure, really did understand what was being asked of them, but they said what needed to be said. Yes, we can. And Jesus said, and you will. As we hear in the book of Acts, James is the only of the 12 whose death is recorded as he loses his life at the hands of Herod Agrippa. Sometimes the flickering flame that burns inside of you of faith puts you in harm's way. When the boys were asked, "What did you learn from this experience?" one boy said, "I am stronger now. I am more patient now. I am more tolerant now." One boy said, "I will never take life so carelessly again." Five of them said, "I want to be like my heroes." One of them said, "I want to be a Navy SEAL." Jesus said, "If you want to be the greatest, you have to be the servant." It's about being a servant. The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. In the evening, when you stand outside this great cathedral, when it's dark outside, and the southwest porch is lit up, the window that you can't see from the outside suddenly appears in full color. And what you see, strikingly, is the face of James looking out onto the city. James is our namesake. Some of us have been named for the sake of another. A father, an uncle, an aunt, a good friend. You were named that name in order to carry on a narrative that is living within you. My middle name is John. That's my grandfather's name, my father's father. When I was very young, my father used to call me John a lot. I never quite understood why, until years later when I understood that he started calling me John just at the time when his father died, just to keep the father and the son close. When James looks out onto the city, he is summoning us out of the waters of baptism to become a servant on a rescue mission for life. On this patronal festival, God summons us. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be perfect. James wasn't. You just have to say yes.